Okay, so we're in the book of Galatians. Again, this is a letter from Paul the Apostle to the churches of Galatia to fight for the purity and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, he's fighting for the purity and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me write a few things up here. So again, this is Galatians. Paul is fighting for the purity and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's gonna be a little bit severe. He's gonna be a little bit intense, but he realized how important this thing is. Yeah, there's a lot I could say, but I think let's keep it like that for now. So right now we're in chapter 1. Chapter 1. We have the intro. We have Paul's past. Paul's past, his conversion, and his pedigree. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the intro, verses 1-5. Okay. Paul's an apostle, not of men, neither by men. Last week we looked at the first part of the call to the gospel. Okay. And this is verse 6-12. And so last week we just looked at verses 6-9. Just seeing some key things in there. Paul is marveling. Some key words here. Verse 6, Paul marvels. They're so soon. And then we saw removed from him. Okay, it's a big deal. We were just making note that the only way into a true relationship with the living God, to actually know him and be a true worshiper, is the gospel. It's only through the gospel. That the true gospel of Christ is the only way to actually know him. So it's not just doctrine, although there's going to be doctrine, but that doctrine is going to lead us to him. It's going to lead us to him. And the thing is, when the doctrine or the gospel is changed, he's not there anymore. You've been removed from him. Made this point a bunch of times, but you see, Jesus taught doctrine. He didn't just hug people. He didn't just sit around them and let them just soak in his presence. He taught doctrine. And those who believed his doctrine and obeyed his doctrine, they were made partakers of Christ. They continued in Christ. They continued in his word. When the apostles, when the Holy Ghost fell down on Pentecost, they weren't just filled with the Holy Ghost to have a good time with themselves. They were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost so that they could preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Why? So that people could hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent, and come into the fellowship of the church. And then what did they do once they came into the church? They didn't just have good times. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Okay? So, the doctrine and fellowship go hand in hand. I can't remove doctrine and still have Christ and know Christ and love Christ. Also, we can't just have head knowledge doctrine, but it's not changing our heart and we're not obeying, because then Christ isn't in that either. Okay, that's what the scribes and Pharisees were doing. But we need both. It's doctrine and fellowship. They were removed from him. A false gospel or error in your doctrine can remove you from him. It's important. Understand that. We don't play with the word of God. We don't play with the word of Christ. Some were perverting the gospel of Christ. So again, they were removed to another gospel, but it actually was just a perverted gospel. Pervert. Some pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay? This is important to understand. I don't know if you've read the parable of Matthew 13. Matthew 13, Jesus telling parables. In verse 33, he said, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Okay? So he says the kingdom has like leaven that was hidden in these three measures of meal till the whole thing got leavened. In chapter 16, Jesus, verse 6, he warns his disciples, says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they're going, oh no, we forgot bread. Oh gosh, he's trying to hint at us that we forgot bread. Well, I can't, how did you guys, I thought you had it. And Jesus goes, oh, you of little faith. Why reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand neither? Remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? I'm not talking about bread. I care less about bread. Then, it says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. See, a little leaven, and the whole thing gets leavened. And he goes, you better beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they go, oh no, we forgot bread. How are we going to eat? Come on, guys, when are you going to wake up? I took 5 loaves and I fed 5,000 people. You guys are worried about bread? Come on now. Like, don't you see yet? I'm going to take care of your bodies. Stop worrying about your bodies. I'm not speaking about your body. I'm speaking in the spiritual realm. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual kingdom, okay? Stop worrying about the physical. I'm warning you about their doctrine. If you just let a little bit of their false doctrine enter into your heart, into your mind, we have a body of knowledge in our minds and in our hearts. All it takes is a little bit of error and it will corrupt that whole body of knowledge. You'll still have a lot of knowledge. You'll still be able to say a lot of things, but the whole thing's been corrupted because there's one wrong slant on how God does things or how God works or what God's expectations are. You receive wrong doctrine, it will corrupt the whole body of knowledge you have. So you got to be very, very exact on what you believe, what you read, what you listen to, who you listen to. God, have mercy on Joel Osteen. Oh, Lord, have mercy on that man. Praying for him to get saved and his wife to get saved. Listening to the stuff they preach. I was watching some things this week. Oh, God. He doesn't know Jesus Christ. He doesn't know the gospel of Christ. He's a liar. He said, if the same spirit as Oprah Winfrey, who's basically a witch. God, have mercy. They're happy together. They love each other. Same spirit. Yo, and he might say a lot of truth, he preached a lot of verses. The Bible's truth. But no lie is of the truth. So when you're taking the truth and you're twisting it towards the wrong end, it's not truth anymore. It's actually lies. Remember, Satan quoted the scripture, but how was he using it? Satan doesn't speak truth. He speaks lies. So he's quoting something true, but it's a lie because of how he's twisting it. You see, you've got to beware of the doctrine. Somebody sent this to me yesterday. I'll just share it with you. Praise God. She was proud of herself because she spotted this error. And she wanted to And she wanted to tell me, but she's right. It's as a picture. There was some Christian series called The Chosen. Everybody was really excited about that. Thought it was great. And whatever. But anyways, I've read the Bible, so I can't get excited about this. Don't take it personally. So they got this little thing. You cannot heal people on the Sabbath day. And these are supposed to be the scribes and Pharisees. And then Jesus got a little sign. Well, it's supposed to be Jesus, not really. And he says, I do what I want. Okay? And it sounds cool, right? It's like, yo, like, you can't do that. And he's like, I do what I want, you know? But she sent me, she said, I saw someone posted this. And then she quotes the scripture. John 5:19. Again, this is the importance of not watching movies made by people who aren't really that spiritual. I'm going to tell you what Jesus is like. It's a lot better to read the books written by the men who walked with Jesus, and they were spiritual. They were filled with the Holy Ghost to find out what Jesus is really like, okay? Because you get a distorted view of Jesus. Let's not get a distorted view of Jesus. So she quotes this scripture. She says, man, I just knew something didn't seem right to that. And then the Lord brought this scripture to her mind, John 5:19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doeth. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Amen. And she goes, no, Jesus didn't do what he wanted. He did what pleased his Father. He did the will of the Father. See, just one little thing, you know, but it sounds cool. If you're like a, if you got like a bad attitude towards churches and church leaders, and you're kind of like a dissident, and you're kind of like a rebel, and you're like, man, these churches, and that's going to ring true with your spirit. You're going to, this is right, I do what I want. Yeah, that's the real Jesus. That's my Jesus. I don't need to listen to them church leaders. I'm going to do what I want. Wrong spirit. Selfish. It's a selfish spirit. Remember, Satan, he did what he wanted. And that's how he became Satan. Anyways, just interesting. So listen, you got to be careful. They'll pervert. Just a little leaven will pervert the gospel, and it will actually separate you from God. But now, it's bad enough to believe error and have your life steered off of course, instead of walking with Christ and getting victory and living a fruitful life for His glory. It's bad enough to be steered off, but there's something even worse. And that's what we looked at last week in verse 8 and 9, about those who preach a false gospel. Okay? And he says it twice. And he says, anybody, angel, even if we came back and started preaching something different to you, let them be accursed. Okay? And this is why Joel Osteen and guys like this, God have mercy on their souls. I don't know, they might be past the point. There might be no repentance for them. They might be damned. But God, if there's a chance for them to be saved, please, God, break in there and show them how far they are from the true gospel of Jesus Christ, how they've taken the word of God for their own gain and to promote other people's gain and merchandise the name of Jesus Christ so that they could be rich. And they're not preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. It's preaching a self-promotion and I am this and I am that and promoting I am. No, there's only one I am. Amen? When God appeared to Moses, he didn't go, hey, you're the I am. Just believe I am. And it, no, he says, I am that I am. You tell him I am sent you. Again, one of the reasons why, please, don't listen to Kenneth Copeland. Have nothing to do with that man. I don't know if you ever heard what he said. Did you ever hear that? He talked about blasphemy. You can hear it. It's his own quote. He goes, when I read the Bible and I see God's go, I am, I go, bless God, I am too. That's what he says. That is serious evil. That is a wolf in sheep's clothing. God have mercy. I don't think there's any chance for him to be saved. I think he's past the line. But if there's any chance for Joel or any of these other guys, please have mercy. But that's what God said. You preach another gospel, you're bringing eternal damnation on your soul. Cursed. Let them be accursed. So we don't play with the gospel. Don't play with the gospel. And again, he said it twice, so this is very serious. I mean, pretty much repeated himself in 8 and 9. Okay, so we continue in verse 10. Paul's going to continue his reasoning. He's going, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, and then he's going to go into his conversion and talk about how God called him and everything that happened. But verses 10 through 12, he just wants to make it very clear. Am I persuading men or God? You know? It's a good question. Who are you trying to persuade? Are you trying to persuade God to get in line with your will and what you want? Or are you trying to persuade men to repent and get out of their selfishness and sin and come in line with what God wants? You know, who are we trying to persuade here? Paul's going to write this letter to persuade them strongly to turn back to God. We're not trying to persuade God to get in line with my dreams. We're trying to persuade men to repent of their dreams and get in line with God's will. Okay? Do I persuade men or God? And then he says, or do I seek to please men? You know, who are we trying to please here? Are we trying to please people? Are we trying to build a church that will just please people and make people feel good about themselves and they'll keep coming back and keep giving more money so we can do more programs and have more people? Are we trying to please people or are we trying to please God? Remember, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, all things are created for thy pleasure. He made all things for his pleasure. We are to please God. He is our creator. And how much more now in the New Testament, he's not just our creator, but look at to what great extent he went to redeem us and to save us and to purify us so that we could be worthy to enter his kingdom. He's our redeemer. He's our savior. Man, Paul lays it out really clearly. Verse 10, if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Okay? So, who are you trying to please? You either please men, or you serve Christ. You can't do both. Now, this is a hard pill if you're a people pleaser. And by the way, I was a people pleaser. Some of you might be shocked to find out I'm a recovering addict. I would have never thought you were a people pleaser, Adam. You seem like a real jerk. Listen, I once was a people pleaser. Listen, I was not the bold, dynamic, firstborn child. Okay? I was the calm, quiet, easy, go along, get along, can fit in with anybody child. Okay? I know. I like to fit in. I like people to be happy. I prefer to help. I don't like leading. Honestly, I do not like being a leader. My more natural position is let me just be a helper. Let me assist. I'll come alongside. I can fill in the gap. That's more natural for me than trying to lead and steer a ship. Okay? I much prefer to be a second man. But you know what? I'm not here to please myself and I'm not here to please people. I can't. If I want to please God, if I want to serve Christ, I can't please people. Now, it doesn't mean that because some people take this the wrong way and they become like arrogant, selfish jerks, okay? And we don't want to use this as an excuse. Well, I'm not here to please people. I please Christ. Well, he's not pleased if you can't stand anybody and you hate people and you treat people like a jerk. So, okay. To truly please Christ and to truly do his will, he's going to teach us how to lay down our lives for the better of others. And in the process, we actually will help people and we will serve people and people will, who respond, will actually be pleased with us. But our main goal is not to please people. People pleasers, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They promise things they never fulfill. They tell people what they want to hear. No, that's not how we're going to please Christ. So first and foremost, my goal is to please God. My goal is to do the will of God, to serve Christ. And then in that, he teaches me to, hey, Adam, it's not about you. Get your eyes off yourself. Start serving people. Start laying it. And in that, I serve people, but they're not my main object. My main object is to serve him. I don't know if that makes sense. But this is an important thing we got to understand. You want to please
man or do you want to please God? You want to serve man or do you want to serve God? Now, sometimes serving God means serving men. Sometimes you're still at that season where you have to serve people and you need to come under them, and that's fine. In fact, at all levels, all of us have to serve, you know? Even if you're the king, like if somehow you could be the king of the nation, you still, there's other nations. You're never the top of the top, okay? It's never going to happen. Only Christ is. But look at this promise in John 12. This is beautiful. John 12. You want to please men or serve Christ? Well, I want to serve Christ. By the way, something you got to realize about yourself is you're completely unfit and unworthy to serve Christ. Completely unfit and unworthy to serve Christ. So, I need God, help me just to learn how to hear your voice. Help me to learn how to trust you, to learn how to obey you. You know, help me to learn how to overcome all these doubts. Like you give me a promise and then like a week later things are happening and all these doubts are attacking me and I'm giving up hope. God, I can't serve you if I'm living like that. Like, please, Lord, help me. So we need a lot of help to get to the point where we're worthy to serve him, okay? But he'll help us. He'll help us. But watch this promise. This is good. John 12, 26. He says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It's good, huh? You want honor from men or do you want honor from God? Listen, when I was young, I wanted honor from men. When I was in my early 20s, late teens, early 20s, and I'm starting to read the Bible and follow God, and then you see these great men of God, and you just go like, yo, these guys, and you just look up to them and they're amazing and you just want them to recognize you. You want them to approve you and that's natural. But in the end, you find out even the great men of God, they're just men. And yes, we can learn from them and we can be inspired by them. But if I just get them to honor me and I'm fitting in with them and they you know, but God, I'm out of place of where God wants me to be. It's a big deal, you know. Are you in God's will? Are you where he wants you? Because if not, there's no peace there. There's no joy there because the Father's not honoring you. You want the Father to honor you? You want the blessing of God on your life? You want the grace of God in your life? Well, then Jesus says, serve me and follow me. And wherever I go, you need to be where I am. And if you'll do that, then my Father will honor you. You know, to just lose all those things that are holding us back, just go, Lord, you want to send me to China? You want to send me to Indonesia? You want to send me to Pakistan? Lord, wherever you want me to go, I want to be where you are, Jesus. Wherever you're moving and you want, I want to be where you are. You know? Now those thoughts put fear in some people's heart, but don't be afraid, I'm telling you. He's never going to send you somewhere that he hasn't first equipped and trained you and you're ready to go and he's going to go with you, okay? You got to understand. So those are the fears of the natural mind. Subdue those things. By the way, in verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Notice what came in verse 25. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it in the life eternal. Truth is, you can't serve Christ until you lose your life. As long as you still have your own ideas, your own dreams, your own plans, your own wishes, your own ideas of how it's going to go, you can't serve Jesus. You're serving yourself still. And if you serve yourself, guess what? In the end, you're going to serve man. You will. Yeah, I love the modern feminist movement. I love it, you know. We don't need a man. We're not going to serve men. Meanwhile, they're all working under bosses for men, you know. It's like, well, no, I run my own business. Yeah, but the country that you live in and pay taxes to is run by a man. Like, the roads you drive on were paved by men. The cars you're driving were built by men and engineered by men. You don't need men, seriously? Okay, let's drop you off in the middle of the bush with nothing, no clothes, no tools, and let's see how you do it. You know, let's see the tough, rah-rah feminist women. Let's see you make it. Listen, come on, let's be honest. We all need men at some level. We all need men. Look at how much has been built around us that we get to enter into these people's labors. Let's not be arrogant, okay? But people who don't want to serve God, you can end up serving men. And then you're going to have to please men. And then the only reward you get is maybe if they're a good man and you make them happy, then they'll be happy with you for a little bit. And that's your reward. Maybe they'll give you a pension or something. I don't know. But I know what Paul says. Look, if I still pleased men, I wouldn't be serving Christ. So let's understand up front. The true gospel, you want to know about the true gospel? The true gospel is not a people-pleaser gospel. It's about serving Jesus Christ. And serving Jesus Christ also means not pleasing ourselves. Because Christ himself didn't please himself. Christ himself denied himself. Took up his cross. So we want to follow Christ. You want to follow the real Jesus? Or you want to follow the modern Jesus? Who says you can have everything with no cost. No, no. You want to follow the real Jesus? Deny yourself. Lose your life. And then you can serve Christ. And if you serve him, you will follow him. I've met a lot of people who are in ministry. Beware of ministry, okay? Beware of ministry. Please do not do ministry unless you know it's God who set it before you. God has called you to it. He's given you the open door, and his grace is empowering you in it. Otherwise, lose the ministry. That'd be the best thing you could do. I've met a lot of people in ministry, and they're bitter, and they're burned out, and they can't stand people, and they're grumbling, but they're serving God. You know what? You're not serving God. God left you behind a long time ago. Because if you were serving Christ, Jesus said, you want to serve me, then you need to follow me. One of the things you see about Jesus' ministry, I'm not saying he can't do this, okay? Because some people he does do this. Some people he plants you in the same place, you're in the same house your entire life, the same town, the same church, and that's the grace of God. Some people he does that too. But a lot of people, it's not how it works. Jesus would be in a village for a while, then go into another town for a while, and you know what? If someone wanted to serve Jesus, you had to follow Jesus. How can I serve someone if he's not present? Does this make sense? So, maybe they got in that ministry. Maybe it was never of God. Maybe it was just always, you know, they were trying to please themselves and build a name for themselves. And, you know, look, that's the thing about ministry. You got to be careful. It makes you feel good. And you can really feel good about yourself. But if God's not in it, no. But some people, they started right, like Saul. Saul the king started right, started well. He was humble. He was low in his own eyes. But at some point, they veered off the mark. God had moved over here, and they refused to obey and move with God. And because they refused to obey and move with God, they were no longer serving God. They started serving the people. And because they stopped serving God and started serving the people, in the end, they hate the people. This is the thing. Whenever you replace something else, put it in the place of God, it will be an idol, but in the end, you'll hate those idols. You'll hate them in the end. When God's judgment day comes in the book of Revelation, you read about it, once the wrath of the lambs is going to come, he starts to rise up. It says they're going to run to the caves and mountains, and they're going to throw their idols away. People will be taking these cell phones, and they'll be throwing them behind, just running, because the thing that you sold your soul for, in the end, it has no power in judgment day, and you'll despise it, but it'll be too late, because you wanted to serve that thing. So listen. Choose up front. I want to serve Christ. But if you want to serve Christ, that means you need to follow Christ. That means if he says it's time to move on, then I need to move on. If he says, I'm working right here, right now, I want you here right now, then stay right there, right now. You understand? He says, if you want to serve me, you've got to follow me. Those are the true servants. And he says, whoever serves me, my Father will honor him. Come on now. Have you been looking for honor and recognition and approval and love from him? Or is it still like people? Is it still like you want women to like you and think you're something special? Do you want men to like you and think you're one of the boys? What are you looking for? Well, I'll tell you personally, I've looked for all those things.
But when you actually start seeking the honor that comes from above only, oh, there's such a peace. And there's such a blessing. And there's such a settledness. Remember, this was the problem with the Pharisees. Talking about leaven. Jesus warned about their leaven. In John 5, he said, verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? He's going, how can you believe in me? You can't believe. You're still looking for honor from people. You're still pleasing people. You can't believe in Christ and follow Christ and obey Christ and be the servant of Christ until you die to that. And you just want to please Him. Verse 11, Paul says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Amen? Let's understand this. By the way, whenever you find a gospel that's man-centered, people-centered, feel-good-centered, you know right off the bat it's not the true gospel. Okay? This gospel is not after man. Okay? Understand, the gospel started with the Father in heaven. And then the Father gave these words and these truths to the Son, Jesus Christ. And people who were looking to be men-pleasers and looking for the honor of men, they never believed Jesus. They hated Jesus. They fought with Jesus. They wrestled with Jesus. The only people who believed Jesus and ultimately believed the Father, because if I believe Jesus, I'm actually believing the Father, were the people who weren't looking to please men anymore. They wanted to please God. And so then, this gospel, he passed it to the 11 apostles. And so in the book of Acts, then you see the apostles carrying this gospel forward. But understand, when Peter preached, that wasn't some sermon he crafted to please people. You know? When he preached under the inspiration and power of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he had believed Jesus, the Son, who brought the words from the Father. This gospel's from heaven. This is not earthly. The gospel is heavenly. Now here's the good news. Remember the promise in Isaiah. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You better repent of your thoughts. He said, my ways are not your ways. You better forsake your ways, okay? He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But here's the good news. He said, just like the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth, he says, so too shall my word be. So the gospel is heavenly, but the good news is God promised that that word of the gospel would come down from heaven to earth. And it would come to refresh earth and save earth and bring life to earth. That's the gospel, okay? But it's not of earth and it's not of men. Which is why it's so important. Look back at 1 Corinthians 2. This is one of my life verses. First Corinthians 2. When Paul preached in verse 1, he says, I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You guys see that? Okay, now I've heard this a lot of times. They say, if you're going to go into an area and you're going to preach the gospel or you're going to try to win people to the Lord, you can't just go in and just preach.
No, no, no. You first got to get to know the area, get familiar with the people, get to understand the people, what their struggles are, what are the things that are going on. And then you can't just preach to somebody. It's not right. Okay, you're a Bible basher. Don't do that. What you need to do is you need to first form a relationship. And you form a relationship first, and you learn to love that person. And then eventually, maybe, you can, you know, start slipping in a little bit of gospel, a little bit of Jesus. And this is how you're going to win people to Christ. That's a seducing spirit. No. Now look, could God, in a specific area, lead you in and say, don't preach just yet, okay? You're going to have to be patient and wait for the right day. He could do that, okay? But when you make that a rule, which is exactly the opposite of what Paul just said and what he did in most of the places where he went. When Paul went to Corinth, he said, I didn't want to know anything about you guys. I determined to know nothing about who you were, what your problems are. I didn't want to know your business. All I want to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when I came, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom and try to form relationships and get close to you. And man, you're awesome. And I'm going to show you support, and I'm going to bring help to the community, and through favor with the community, then maybe I can bring. No. He said, when I came, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So when he preached, the Spirit of God bore witness, and people were getting saved, and people were despising him, and there was the whole city went in uproar. You know how many people nowadays would say, man, you did that all wrong. If you did it right, there would have never been an uproar. People would have never come against you. Man, you need to learn how to tone it down. You need to learn to be more loving. Okay, you can choose. You want to please man, or you want to please God? You want to do it man's way or God's way? Whose honor are you looking for? Most of those people, they're still looking for honor from men. Which is why, when they get favor with authorities, and they get favor with government, they think that's the greatest thing on earth. The government's giving me favor. Look at God's with me. Maybe you are walking in the Spirit and God has opened that door. That's possible, but you can't take that as the sign that you're walking in God's favor, because let me tell you, Jesus Christ walked in the favor of God above and beyond anybody who ever walked this earth, and he was not in favor with the governmental authorities. The chief priests hated him, didn't want him preaching in the temple. If they could have, they would have killed him. Eventually they did. And the Roman authorities, they thought he's a joke, not taking this guy seriously. And then, okay, come on. Okay. Just trying to preach some truth here. Listen, we want people, we want their faith to stand in the power of God. We want their faith to be in the true heavenly gospel. Not in our wisdom or our cunning or our ability or our great, you know, whatever skills. Paul says, you better understand, this gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a unique situation. Paul himself is a unique situation. Let's understand Paul's situation. You can receive the gospel through human vessels. In fact, most people in the history of mankind have. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's of men. It's still of God, but he's working through that vessel to bring it to you. So God uses human vessels to bring truth, okay? But I want you to understand, Paul himself, he didn't receive it from men. No man came and preached to Paul, and that's how Paul turned to Christ. Okay? He says, neither was I taught it. So not only the initial receiving it, but then being taught it. By the way, you need to receive the gospel to be born again, but you also need to be taught the gospel so that you can grow to maturity and you can serve Christ well. You see the two different things. Receive it, taught it. That's what we're doing right now. We're teaching the gospel. I believe most of you have received the gospel, but now we need to be taught the gospel so that we're solid in it and we never steer off. Okay? So he says, I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it. And he's implying, neither was I taught it by man. How did Paul receive it? How was he taught it? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, Paul's a unique person. You have to understand. When he says that, he's not talking about inner revelation. Although obviously we need inner revelation. But that when he's using the word revelation, he's using the word revelation the same way John uses the word revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Okay, so I want you to understand. The words revelation and inspiration are a little bit different. Okay, they're different. Now, there is inner revelation that I believe all of us need inner revelation, but that's not what he's talking about. This is a different kind of revelation. So, by the way, people throw around the word revelation a little too much. They don't really understand it. Revelation 1 here, you ready? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Okay, now, as you go through this book, John wasn't sitting in a classroom being taught by somebody and the Holy Ghost was confirming those things inside. It's not what was happening. Now, you can call that revelation, and maybe it's an inner revelation, but that's not what he's talking about when he uses the word revelation, okay? When he's saying the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus came out of heaven and appeared to John. And John fell flat on his face, and Jesus spoke directly to John. And he said, these are the messages for these seven churches. Write these things down. And then he took John's spirit up into heaven, and he showed him the throne room, and then he showed him the things that were going to come, you know, the releasing of the seals. And so John literally, he got like brand new revelation right from Jesus himself. Okay. None of us have had that. Okay. I don't think so. Has Jesus ever appeared to you, like come out of heaven to appear to you and said, listen, boom, 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 write this. No. Okay. So the revelation we get is inner revelation by the Spirit of God working. And he can work through people preaching to us. He can work when we're reading the Bible. He can work when we're in prayer. He can give that inner revelation. But this is not what Paul's talking about. And this is not what John's talking about. When he's using the word revelation, he's talking about Jesus himself coming out of heaven, teaching me, preaching to me. Does that make sense? That's what he's talking about. Paul goes, I didn't get this thing from man. I wasn't even taught it by man. And then he's about to tell a story. We won't look at it now. But he's going to explain how he only spent 15 days with Peter. And that was after he had been born again and preaching the gospel for 3 years. And Peter was supposed to be the chief apostle. You go, what's your point? Well, there's a lot of points there, but Let's hit one thing, okay? The Roman Catholic Church claims that Peter is the rock that the church is built on, that he is the holder of the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and that only through Peter could people get into Christ, and that Peter had to preach, and then they preached that Peter was the first pope, and then he ordained the next pope, and then the next pope, and so whenever the pope speaks, he's not speaking the words of men, he's speaking by the mouth of God, because we are in line with Peter. Well, Paul didn't get saved by listening to Peter preach. Paul wasn't taught the gospel by the things Peter taught. And Paul wrote 14 letters in the New Testament. Peter only wrote 2. So if Peter was the first big head honcho pope, it doesn't even make sense if you just study New Testament what actually happened. You know who Peter got saved by? Jesus Christ. You know who Peter got taught by? Jesus Christ. You know who Paul got saved by? Jesus Christ. You know who Paul got taught by? Jesus Christ. You know who the rock is? And the one who spoke absolute truth always at the mouth of the Father? Jesus Christ. So our salvation is not a pope, and it's not trusting in a church. It's not trusting the traditions of men. Our salvation is going to be Jesus Christ,
because he's the one who's brought the truth of God from heaven, and he brought it directly to Paul. Paul didn't need Peter. In fact, Paul sped way ahead of Peter and ended up having to rebuke Peter and correct Peter. Okay, so by the way, you know, God can do what he wants. He can call somebody later and accelerate them way faster than the guys that were in earlier. He can do this stuff. This is God, okay? So let's just be humble and just honor God. Seek him. But why is Paul having to do all this? He's having to do this because he's trying to set up with this church. First off, what this thing's all about, and then secondly, he's trying to set up who he is. And Paul doesn't want to do this. If you read most of his letters, especially when he writes to good churches, he's never pumping himself. He's never trying to defend himself. Okay? But sometimes when he deals with fools, okay, the Church of Corinthians, they were foolish baby Christians, and he says, I gotta speak to you as a fool, and I gotta tell you all the stuff I've gone through and all that Christ has done in me to try to help you realize that I am a real man of God. And you need to listen to what I'm saying, not because I want you under my authority, but because I want you walking with Christ. And he's got to do the same thing here in the book of Galatians. He's going to have to tell his story and show what God did, how God did it, how he went past the apostles, how he had to correct Peter. Because he's going, listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Because what I'm saying is the true revelation from Christ himself all the way from heaven. We need Christ. We need his revelation. We need his wisdom. We need his spirit. We need his power. Let us never compromise the gospel to please people. Let us never compromise the call of God on our life to serve people. Go, but they need me. What are they going to do without me? No. No. We must always, you want to serve Christ? He says, follow me. Follow me. Wherever I am, that's where my servant will be. And he goes, if any man serve me, my Father will honor him. That's where the grace and the blessing and the power of the Spirit of God are. When we are obedient to Christ and his heavenly calling. This is a heavenly calling. It's not earthly. It's not earthly. Amen? Now remember, this doesn't look the same with everybody at all seasons. Even Jesus himself. From the time he was born until the time he was 30. He's working hard. He's in his parents' roof. So it looks different at different seasons depending on where you're at. When we say, I'm gonna serve Christ, that doesn't mean you're ready to go out full-time tomorrow, drop everything, sell everything, leave everything, and just go. No. Okay, God knows. He'll train us, he'll equip us, he'll build us, he'll bring the people in our lives that we need for that season, that we're going to gain things from them. Obviously, it's ultimately of God. He's going to do those things. But in the end, let's make sure, what's the number one goal? I want to please God. Okay, one last scripture, John 8. I've preached this before, but let's just be reminded of this. We want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be disciples of a movement. We don't want to be disciples of a church. I can't take you through a 10-week program and now you're a disciple of Christ. No. To be a disciple of Christ is going to be for the rest of your life. It's something you sign up for. And then it doesn't end till the day you die, okay? It's not like 12 weeks, all right, I'm done with the discipleship, I'm a disciple. No, like you, listen, okay? We want to be disciples of Christ. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Again, understand, the way it worked, you had a master. And then you had people who looked at that master. Maybe it was a master blacksmith. Maybe he was a master ironsmith. Maybe he was a master carpenter. He's a master. And something in you loves that trade. And you go, I want to do that. And so then what you would do to become a disciple of the Master. You would, obviously, it'd be a certain age. You don't just, you know, go when you're like 3 years old or something, you know. Once you're of a certain age and you're ready, you know, you would go and he would interview you and make sure that he saw that you were really serious and meant business. And then if he accepted you to be his disciple, you left your family behind. You literally left your home and you went and lived where the Master lived. Now, you didn't live in his bedroom. He didn't give you a spot in his bedroom. They had separate quarters out back or something. But you lived on the Master's property and your whole life became under the Master. And you studied under the Master. And you learned under the Master. And you did exactly what the Master said. And at first, he might not even teach you carpentry. First, he just has you sweeping the barns. And he just has you cleaning. And you go, I thought I wanted to be a carpenter. What is this? Like, what? Remember, right? Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off. I thought I wanted to learn karate. No, okay. He knows what it takes to get you ready to finally start learning the trade, okay? But if you want to be a master, if you want to be a disciple, he comes under the Master. And you have disciples under the Master. And they left everything to follow the Master and to learn from the Master. Because ultimately, they wanted to learn to do what the Master did. They wanted to become like the Master. And it was many years. It took many years to get there, okay? There's the discipleship part, like there's the apprenticeship part, and then there's the journeyman stage. There's different stages till eventually you're a Master. Now, we know in the end, there's only one Master, it's Christ. Okay? There's one ultimate King. There's only one Christ. None of us are going to become Christ. We're not going to become the King. And yet, he's King of Kings, okay? In a sense, he's Master of Masters. We also, too, want to become masters. We also, too, want to become kings. We, too, want to become priests. He's the high priest. We'll always be under him. But the goal is to become like him. Now, here's the thing. You ready? Watch this. So who is Jesus? What was his trade? What was he the master of? Now you can say he's the master of everything, and I think so. But specifically, we're looking at this man as a person. What was he the master of? You ready? Remember, it comes back to the beginning. Why did God create man? To please him. Everything in creation is to bring pleasure to God, to do exactly what we were designed for, to bring him glory, to please him. Watch what Jesus says in John 8. Verse 28, he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. I do what I want. Not the real Jesus. That's the chosen Jesus. That's the, you know, these guys who aren't very spiritual trying to make series and make a name for themselves, Jesus. No, the real Jesus, I don't do what I want. I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Just think about this for a second. We all want to be significant. We all want to be successful. We all want to be productive and fruitful. We all want to have full lives with joy and peace and love. Like what natural person doesn't want those things, right? Who is the most powerful being who is the most significant and the most productive and the most fruitful and full of joy and love and peace and all these wonderful things that we want our lives to be? Who's the number one? Well, yeah, Jesus, but I'm going back to the ultimate source. It's God. It's the Father himself. The Father himself. So think about this. Come on, let's think. It's good to renew the mind and learn how to think, okay? Let's think. You ready? If I want to be significant, fruitful, productive, a life that's really worth something to the fullest. You know, people, I want to live life to the fullest. You want to live life to the fullest. Who do you need? who can you get closer to that's going to give you a more full life than God Himself? If you could get really close to your husband and he would love you and honor you, but you're not close to God, is he going to give you what you need? If you get really close to your wife and you could have that intimacy, but you're not close to God, is she going to give you what you need? If you get really close to like Donald Trump or I don't know, these people are, or let's say some sports star or something, Messi, is that a name? Messi, something? Some guy, I don't know, he kicks balls. And if I can get close to that guy and kick balls really hard and get in the net, I'm going to, no, come on. We were created to please God. So who's going to have the most power, the most authority, the most spirit-filled life, the most joy, love, peace, purpose? Who's going to have all those things? The one who's pleasing his maker and is filled with his maker. Why do you think Jesus was such an amazing figure that people either just loved him and would sell everything and leave everything to follow him, or people hated him so much they wanted to kill him, but it didn't even make sense? Like, what made this guy so amazing? He says, because he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The Father was with him, filling him, empowering him every step of the way. The Father would never leave him. Why? Because he always did what pleased the Father. Jesus didn't please man. He didn't please his wife. He didn't please his children. He didn't please his friends. He didn't please his disciples. I know he wasn't married and didn't have physical children. I'm trying to make a point. Who are you trying to please? Now, if you look at Jesus and go, man, I want wisdom like him. I want understanding like him. I want power like him. I want to be able to heal people like him. I want to be able to turn people, you know, from darkness and bring them into light like him. I want to be like him. Well, then the key is, you want to be his disciple. And that means you got to learn to do what the master did. And what did the master do? Always did what pleased the Father. Always. Never turned aside a split hair, a split second. I do always those things that please him. And that's why right after this, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Again, you become a disciple of a master because you want to learn to do what the master does. You want to be like the master. Well, Jesus, he was the master of pleasing the Father. He was the master of doing the will of God. There was nobody like him, never will be like him again, who always perfectly did the will of God, never gave in an inch to temptation or his flesh or nothing, always. And that's why he has such power, such victory, such authority, such wisdom, such understanding, made such an impact. Guess what? You can be his disciple. You can become like him. You can learn to do those things that please the Father. That's what Paul was doing. So Paul goes, if I please men, I can't be the servant of Christ. Because Christ ain't pleasing people. He's pleasing the Father. Amen? Yeah. It's good to know the real Jesus. Amen? Isn't that refreshing?
Yes.
Like I said, if you're a people pleaser, it's hard. But be of good courage. There's victory. Even people pleasers can overcome. And by the way, I'm not saying I've overcome. I still have areas in me where, Lord, teach me how to, you know, how to not turn aside or not look down or not shrug, but how to stand in pleasing the Father, even if people are going to be very upset or not very pleased. Because that's where the grace is. That's where the grace is. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your great grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Please, God, help us not to please people. Help us not to please ourselves. Teach us, Lord, how to be in subjection to you. How to be obedient to you. How not to run ahead. how not to drag our feet behind, but how to just be where you are. And so, Lord, as you move in our lives, as you move in our hearts, as you reveal things to us, as you expose things that need to go, help us just stay in step with you. Thank you, Lord, that you help us step by step, and you'll walk with us step by step through everything. But we need to stay in step with you. So please, God, help us. Help us learn from this man Paul's example and see how much fruit he bore and how many lives he changed and how many people came to Christ through him. What a fruitful, eternal life he had. Because he wasn't trying to please men. He was trying to please Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, that you teach us how to truly please you. We don't just try, but we actually can bring you joy. Thank you, Lord. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people. Bless us. Bless us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.